Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. You know, it's been 24 years now since 9/11, so even as we're only a week or so past that anniversary, more, you know, kind of reminders of that evidence comes in. If you were, you know, kind of up and awake for those 20 years, you know a lot. But for those people who were not up and awake, some of this, you know, reminders of this evidence are good to bring up. So we want to talk about that, and I'm going to basically explain a video, as I'll often do, and then share the audio, and then add some commentary. Very briefly, this was early in my awakening, if you will. I was first awake around the time of Oklahoma City, not real long after, not at that moment. Was starting to get awake around just the odd things that the federal government does with the environmental, environmental protection and quote endangered species, and how they'll, you know, shut down a whole area because a snake darter that is incredibly rare to begin with is rare. And all of a sudden you don't have access to your own property and you're fined $10,000 a day. So the Department of Justice was doing insane things back then. Waco had been around and that was looking fishy, and I was understanding that. And then, you know, Oklahoma City comes along and I, you know, back learn some of that stuff. At the time I just started to understand the New American, which I didn't know to be, oh, I'm not supposed to believe that, because it's the John Birch Society. I didn't have enough, you know, political maturity to understand, and I still don't honestly, that I'm not supposed to consider something because of the source. Like, I'm going to read the information and then go, okay, maybe. Anyway, they were doing incredible work, absolutely incredible work. Think like Project Veritas stuff or the very best website. Christopher Ruddy, before he went insane with, Newsmax. He was initially on Vince Foster with the Pittsburgh Tribune Review and was an absolutely fearless reporter on the Vince Foster murder. So think that too. Think Catherine Austin Fitz and other people. The New American was just fearless, and they would go back and revisit and revisit and revisit with a physical magazine. Incredible, incredible stuff. So I learned about the Oklahoma City bombing and Ben Parton, General Benton Parton, Brigadier General Air Force, with a specialty smart. Because remember, even around the time of the first Iraq attack, we called it smart weapons, and you know, there'd be satire where, you know, the weapon is knocking at your door like, hello, how are you? You know, satire cartoons. So it was, you know, the idea, this guy, Brigadier General Parton, was involved with the idea of, as in his Air Force capacity, the importance of especially accurate weapons, you know, that would use things like, laser. You'd have to have somebody on the ground, and it points it via laser, so then it can direct towards the laser optically. And, you know, therefore it hits directly, because if you don't hit a reinforced bunker directly, a reinforced structure, then it is not going down. So this is the guy who reported to the New American that some of the columns that fell in Oklahoma City were getting about 1/100th the pressure they should have got in order to fail. And the number was something like, in order to bring down these reinforced columns, it would take something like 3,500 pounds per square inch, and instead some of them had 1/10th that and even 1/100th that. Sure, I've mentioned this in previous videos, but it just goes to, you know, there are certain things you have to realize are a big pivot. And I'm saying all this to say this audio that I'm going to tell you is one of those big pivots. And you've got to understand, when you see super duper pivots, you don't have to go, no, nobody else said that that's the main thing that should make me absolutely convinced. No, no, no. You decide that. You decide that. Once you go, is that true evidence? Then your weighing of that evidence, you're the one who goes, nope, now it's done. Now it's, we're done. It's clearly the case. And now let's look at the implications of that being the case instead of what they were saying before. So for this one, you know, due to kind of distance falls off exponentially due to air being, I'm talking about Oklahoma City again, air, you know, having, you know, it's a compressive effect. That is, it's more like a spring. It's not a direct transmitter of force. And it dropping off with something like the square of the distance. So because it's going in three directions in three-dimensional way, if it's not a shape charge, it drops off, for instance, instead of it being, if it's twice as far, it's only 1/4 the, you know, the pressure. If it's three times as far, it's only 1/9 the pressure, and so on. And it may have been actually cubed, or it may have been, but I think it was at least squared. If it's one, if it's four times as far, it's not only 25% of the pressure comparatively. No, it's 1/16 and so on. And so his calculations were that some columns fell when they were getting 35 pounds per square inch. And to be clear, this is as though you have manufactured a good weight bar to a standard, something close to standard at all, where it's been working. You know, a good 45-pound bar that you then, you know, have at the gym, Olympic bar. And then you put on, so that should hold, give or take, you know, 600, 700 pounds. And it's as though the bar fails at 7 pounds. Okay, it's a properly manufactured bar. It's been taking the load, and now it fails at 7 pounds. Well, that's what you call a physical impossibility. And therefore, what this proves is that something else happened. If the column failed at 1/100th its yield strength, or even 1/10th its yield strength, then something else happened. And you can go further into exactly what happened. I probably explained it here and there. So now we get to 9/11 and the Pentagon. And the information is just simply that the plane wasn't there. I don't know what to tell you, brother. It wasn't there. Okay, these are riveted, bolted, heavy pieces. I mean, what does an average plane weigh? It weighs, I don't know, 50 tons? Maybe more than that. Let me look real quick. An average, I don't know that it was a 747, but I'm going to look up 747. I'll let you guess in the compressed moment that I'm looking up. Okay, so here's what I got for you on that. It looks like a 737, depending on the configuration, weighs 50 to 85 tons. So that was about right. Average passenger plane, because I don't know if that was a 737, 80,000 to 176,000 pounds. So, you know, 40 tons to just under 80 tons. And so this is built with, you know, very rigid and heavy materials. Now, granted, some of them are aluminum, but still rigid, thick. Nothing disintegrates. If something hits the ground or goes through something, large pieces are going to shear off and still mostly stay intact in very, very large pieces. Engines, where the wings might shear off from the fuselage at that joint, where the wheels might shear off from the rest of it if the landing gear was down. The tail, vertical on the tail, might shear off based on what it hits, but there are rivets and, you know, bolts all over the plane, like literally tens of thousands of bolts and rivets. If you count rivets, it's probably 100,000. But to make all these connections, overhead compartments, the seats themselves, every single one of them are very heavy. You know, all of the various equipment, the cargo area, all these are very, very heavy pieces. So what happens is when a plane really does crash, there are pieces everywhere. Because what does a typical, you know, full passenger plane hold? In the range of 120 to 250 individuals, those are all separate and heavy seats with multiple parts. Think of how heavy even the armrest that pivots down is. That's a heavy piece. Think of, you know, how quality and heavy the windows have to be. This is stuff that does not disintegrate. It's not made of a singular piece of clay that then just, you know, gloops. And even then you'd have a big piece of something. These are all very separately engineered pieces that are attached in a very secure way so that on the outside they can handle, you know, 450 mile an hour winds and so on. So I made my point there. A lot of pieces to an airplane. I've read this before. I've seen this before. But yeah, let's just go ahead and play it. And this is, you can see it's CNN. It says America under attack, terror attacks against targets in New York and Washington. This is breaking news. It's a blonde anchor. I cannot remember her name and I don't see her name, but let's go ahead and listen to this.
Outside the Pentagon, CNN's military affairs correspondent Jamie McIntyre. And Jamie, you got very close to where that plane went down.
That's right.
Okay, we have Jamie with the Pentagon in the background. Now, granted, at this point, it's where he's standing, it's pretty far in the background. I mean, to me, it's, I can't tell if he's facing the Pentagon proper. You'd think he would, but who knows? I just cannot absolutely tell. But whatever he's in front of, he's probably 200 yards in front of with the large building well in his background. For example, then you see his head, the middle of his head, if you will, are about at horizon. And then the top of his head is much larger than the structure in the background. About twice as large, above the horizon. If his nose is kind of at the horizon, the structure of the building in the background is something like kind of mid-forehead for him. So he said something like, that's right.
A short a while ago, I walked right up to next to the building where firefighters were still trying to put out the blaze. The fire...
Now, during this, they do stop and you see the slot in the building. But that's all you see. You see the slot in the building.
By the way, it's still burning in some parts of the Pentagon. And I took a look at the huge gaping hole that's in this sideway. But from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual side of the building that's crashed in. And as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tails.
They've changed to another view where you, if you will, you see the gash in the building. You see to the left, you see smoke, but you don't see any wreckage. You just kind of see a gash in the building.
Section, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around.
All right, let's rewind that. Let's.
Plane went down.
That's right, Judy. A short look.
Outside the Pentagon, CNN's military affairs correspondent Jamie McIntyre. And Jamie, you got very close to where that plane went down.
That's right, Judy. A short a while ago, I walked right up to next to the building where firefighters were still trying to put out the blaze. The fire, by the way, is still burning in some parts of the Pentagon. And I took a look at the huge gaping hole that's in this sideway, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual site of the building that's crashed in, and as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around.
All right, so, you know, it is what it is. And it never made sense. It's a fable. Think of a basketball hoop. I'm exaggerating. Let's say a bowl. And then a little bowl inside the bowl. And then another littler bowl inside the bowl with space in between because of the difference in sizes. And now imagine that something is coming at it from, you know, a scale. Let's go scale. 150 miles an hour. And somehow it hits the very side of the outside bowl all the way to the ground. The likelihood of it's coming from the air would be that it would hit that target like a bullseye. It would hit somewhere in the center if it hit it. But it wouldn't be exactly skimming along the ground and be able to hit the exact side. And the answer is it didn't, okay? And that's where we get our inside story at least, including WTC7. Now the, is it Shanks? I can't think of it now. Shanksville, whatever, just the out in the field site, also did not have enough debris for an entire, I don't know, you know, how you settle with that. But to the extent that didn't have debris, the Pentagon had even less debris. Like, not that there was fewer seats, that there were no seats. I think somebody said there was, like, allegedly part of an engine further into the ring. But the gaping hole is simply not big enough for the full wingspan of this plane. So where did the wings go? If they had to bust off, they should have been out in, you know, the courtyard, if you will, outside of the Pentagon, or somehow tracking the fuselage, which would make sense. It's not on a hinge. So we'll leave you listen to that one more time, but it is what it is.
Outside the Pentagon, CNN's military affairs correspondent Jamie McIntyre. And Jamie, you got very close to where that plane went down.
That's right, Judy. A while ago, I walked right up to next to the building where firefighters were still trying to put out the blaze. The fire, by the way, is still burning in some parts of the Pentagon. And I took a look at the huge gaping hole that's in this sideway, but from my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. The only site is the actual site of the building that's crashed in, and as I said, the only pieces left that you can see are small enough that you could pick up in your hand. There are no large tail sections, wing sections, a fuselage, nothing like that anywhere around.
So think about that. All he went to was like, well, geez, where's the parts of the plane? Never mind all the pieces inside. I mean, he's simplifying. He goes, well, there's no large pieces, as though it's just a tube he's looking for. Where are the overhead compartments? Where is the carpet? Where are the seats? Where are the railings for the seats? Where are the escape doors? Where's the vertical tail? Where's the horizontal tail? Where is the cockpit? Where is the instrument panel? Where is the general structure of the two bathrooms? Nothing. Where are the wheels? Are they all inside? No, they're not. It's a gaping hole because it's a gaping hole. It's not a hole with a bunch of wreckage has plugged into it. So, guys, it is what it is. And maybe you knew that a little bit. A lot of people know about WTC-7. I just say it's an oldie but a goodie to understand this kind of sabotage and shenanigans have been around a while. And there are some dirty bastards, if there really is a hell. Enough time has passed that they are roasting in it, thank goodness, because that's the level of evil we have on the planet. And it is frustrating, because you go, is evil, you know, prospering? Is evil prospering? Kind of seems like it. It can be pretty frustrating. But we have to keep going forward with the truth forever and always. And with that, I'll emphasize it's something I said about, you know, Charlie Kirk, and, you know, kind of said, well, we're all Charlie Kirk. I know we're not all fundamentalist Christians, but, you know, one of the last things he said, I say last things, you know, in the last, you know, couple of months of his life, he said, you know what, I can say less than Israelis can. And, you know, it's a truism, and it's because he's influential. And so since we're not influential singularly, then we all shout, as I said, like Agent Smiths. And the message is just as popular, but it's much harder to bring down. The message is just as effective, but it's much harder to bring down. So whether it's this stuff, you just don't stop shouting the truth. And you don't wait for permissions or wait for any permission to make that conclusion. What's your conclusion here? Well, A, it's a hell of a freaking piece of evidence. There's no plane? There's no plane. You say there's no plane? Did you say there's no plane? Well, where did all the damage come from? I know, right? Why do we have a story about a plane? I know, right? And then you find out that basically the only piece of video footage they had was from exactly one angle. It's the only one they ever released at the Pentagon. And you can kind of see, if you will, a Pentagon wall to the left, on the left side of the frame. The courtyard, if you will, the yard out in front of you. And then away from the Pentagon to your right. And you see just something flashing very quickly toward it that looks mostly like a missile, is what it looks like. There's certainly no idea of a plane there. It's so quick. And that would make better sense, because a missile can fly low to the ground. And then you look into, wait, they were doing what with this section? And I think either that one was the one that was being overhauled, or it was right next to one that was being overhauled, or it was the last one not to be overhauled, something like that. And you look at the contents that were supposedly in that section, kind of like the building, and so on. You go, listen, you don't even have to go there. All you need to know, there was no plane parts. And then that should fuel your either just like, well, I don't know that I'm suspicious and feel like investigating, because we aren't Candace Owens and her endless bundle of energy when it comes to investigating, but I do know the full story's bullshit and it's not telling your truth, and now I can tell my truth. It is telling the truth. Now, granted, your truth is limited, but you also have a strong and hard conclusion that it wasn't just planes and there was not a plane at the Pentagon. Period. Plain and simple. Just like the WTC 7, a 47-story building that also had similar, you know, reinforced type structuring, doesn't just kind of go down. So there's that. And, you know, once you start going there, I don't want to say it becomes addictive, but the more you've done it, the more you go, I don't even give a shit. Yes, absolutely false. And again, that's the strength in numbers. The reason, probably, but I don't know, that, you know, maybe historians later had the balls to talk about the Lusitania and the other false flags that occurred, is because it was in the ether enough of conversation that it didn't feel like an absolutely and positively forbidden subject. Now, they may have had hesitation, and, you know, academic generally doesn't cover it, but the more it's in the general ether as conversation that people do have, at least when you go talk to them and they have it without shame, the more it is likely that even if it didn't make the initial history, it makes history. Now, whether you want to look at the, I almost said JFK, FDR foreknowledge and potentially more of Pearl Harbor, so we get pulled into World War II, and they needed something like that, or whether you want to look at WTC7, or whether you want to look at, you know, the false stories out of Waco, and how none of that needed to actually happen. It really did not. Or whatever you want to look at. You say there's more to it when there's more to it. And that's a more to it. The Pentagon. And I've seen that footage before. Just like I've seen the footage where the guy is clearly a plant. And then the building fell down, as would be expected, due to structural damage from the heat of the jet fuel. I'm not quoting that, but it's something that artificial, where he adds the reason, like a planted street witness. Yeah, I mean, once you start seeing, once your eyes are cleared, it's tough, but. Just in case some of you had not heard that before, it's always a good blast from the past, that audio. Okay, guys, thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.